this business is a living organism, multiplying constantly, surrounded by predators. There's no room for idle time or second guessing. New discoveries are made hourly. New ideas are ready to be devoured and redefined. This business is binary. You're one or zero. Alive or dead.
And hello and welcome to episode 22 of Lone Rangers. It's been a long while since I've put one of these out. And if you're listening to a Lone Rangers episode for the first time because you've seen the update on the blog or something like that and you thought, what the hell is that? About a year ago, I was producing my own sort of infill radio show using up all the news and stuff that we couldn't fit into the Rangers radio stuff. And I also wanted to record at weird times of the day and night and put stuff out there. So Lone Rangers is that. And also the intros on, well, in fact, all the Rangers radio stuff can be counted as Recomedia. So if you recognise where the movie's from or you want to know where the movie's from, today's intro was from the movie Antitrust, which I recommend everybody watch, as I do all the movies we use for intro. They're all very good films. So yes, we're going to go straight on to the news. It's the same similar format to Rangers Radio, so we're just going to go straight on with the news. Well, I am going to go straight on with the news because I'm the only one here. French Sony workers lose their chains. Sacked Sony workers at a videotape plant in... oh, great. Pont-au-Sous-l'Adour, southwest France, yesterday demonstrated a bit of the old Bastille spirit by taking hostage the company's chief executive, who dropped in for a final courtesy visit to the 300 dismissed employees. The workers are apparently a bit miffed that their redundancy packages are less than those offered to other French Sony workers, and dozens of staff seized Serge Fouché at 5 p.m. and then barricaded the entry to the site with tree trunks. According to The Guardian, roughly 80 workers presented themselves for picket line and guard duty at the factory at 8 a.m. this morning, while local authorities attempted to negotiate Fouché's release. Patrick Hackgur of the communist-leaning CGT union confirmed that Fouché has spent the night shut in a meeting room. He reported, "He won't listen to us. We didn't find any other solution." Fouché has now been released, having to agreed to return to the negotiating table. Those among you who consider the workers' reaction to their dismissal a little excessive should note that Fouché is fortunate not to be the chief executive of Rasanio Transmissioni India. Lalit Kishore Chowdhury was last year beaten to death by angry former employees at the company's car parts factory in Uttar Pradesh state. And we've got our link, as always, on the blog. That's some pretty direct action taken by a whole bunch of French people. And I mean, what do you expect? The French have got a long history of demonstration and fighting back against corporate oppression. You know, check your history books, lads. See if you can do that. And see if it's the sort of country where you can get away with it before you do things like that. So fuck you to the corporate empire. Not a good time to be hero, even on technically the Queen's behalf. Royal Mail has taken a less than grateful attitude towards a Bristol man who prevented a runaway post van careering over a busy main road, as the Times puts it. Dad of two, artist Robert Moore, 63, spotted the transit rolling backwards after the driver forgot to apply the handbrake in an incident last September. He ran after the vehicle and opened the driving door but couldn't reach the brake. He suffered several injuries, including to his legs, which were scraped along the road, but finally managed to help bring the van to a halt. However, when Moore subsequently wrote to the Royal Mail to see if he was entitled to a reward or compensation, the company replied to his solicitor, "We cannot be held responsible for your client's injuries in choosing to stop a moving van without considering the personal consequences. We assume your client is of average intelligence, and as such, you must have known that what he was attempting to do was fraught with great danger, with real possibility of personal injury. With that real threat apparent, he should never have attempted to do what he did, and while his actions may have been brave, they should not have been at the expense of his own safety. Had your client not attempted to stop the van, it would have continued without posing any danger or threat to your client. That being the case, no injury could have been sustained. Of course, it was commendable that your client did. However, Royal Mail would never ask a member of the public to risk their own safety in the manner above, and while unfortunate, your client does appear to be the author of his own misfortune. We trust common sense will prevail here, and you will simply advise in due course that your client's claim is withdrawn." Cue the obligatory astonishment from Mr. Moore, who admonished, "There were children and elderly people around. What was I supposed to do? Let the kids get killed? I opened the door, but the motion made me fall over, which shoved my knees into my chest, cracked my rib and grazed my knees." The driver came down. He was a young guy and said, "Did I forget to put the handbrake on?" The chap said he was very sorry. I was in such agony. I went to the doctor as soon as I could get an appointment, and he agreed I had a cracked rib. I've still got scars on my knees. I like to walk, but it hurts. When I saw the letter, I just laughed. I didn't believe it. A suitably ashamed Royal Mail said yesterday, "We would like to apologise to Mr Moore for the handling of this case, and we are discussing the matter with him and his legal representatives." What a bunch of fucktards. Have they any idea the amount of damages would have been claimed off them if that van had been careering around down through a busy main street, running over people as it went? You know, that's people put in prison for negligence, and that's a huge sum of money in public liabilities insurance. So, as usual, the Royal Mail getting it fucking wrong on a legal thing. I mean, the annoying thing about the Royal Mail is it's an amazing institution that does all these great things, and the people on the ground floor are fantastic, and the people in charge of it are absolute fucktards. Almost exclusively, these people are complete idiots. That's why the Royal Mail is in complete disarray now, because they've let some chinless fucker who knew all the right people to run it and run it into the ground and make loads of money for people as they sell off bits and pieces of it and all the profitable bits, and we'll lose all our local post offices and services. So fuck you, management of Royal Mail, and well done to, well, apart from the one guy who left the handbrake on, to anybody that works on the ground floor. And this is a really good story. I'm pleased I found this. Young Egyptian women are using blogs and online radio stations to beat the censors and to fight for equality. Yes, all right. Despite making up only 24% of the workforce in Egypt, 30% of women use the internet. Bang on, good up to them. But it is the middle and upper classes that have really taken to the internet as an alternative way to discuss topics and exchange information and air what many conservative would consider to be radical views. Often exploiting the anonymity afforded by the internet, like us, they tell personal stories, share political and cultural views, post favourite pictures, and talk about their daily frustrations. Egyptian blogger Dalia Zaida called on Saudi Arabia to end what she considered discrimination against young Muslim women. In a campaign timed to coincide with the Prophet Muhammad's birthday, "I am not allowed to do Amara, a lesser pilgrimage to Mecca. Why? Because I'm a young woman under the age of 45. The only solution for me is to get to my beloved Prophet's land is to be accompanied by a male chaperone. My mother is not enough," says Dalia. Do you know what a male chaperone is? A first-degree male relative, father, brother, husband or son. "I am in big trouble then. My father is dead, my two brothers are not interested and I cannot afford to pay for their tickets. I do not have a husband and of course I do not have a son. What can I do now?" she says. Another blogger, who wanted to remain anonymous, writes about her past as a drug addict and has criticised what she called Arab society's continuing obsession with female virginity. "My blog is a way to remind myself that I'm not alone. Even if no one reads it, I would still keep writing," she says. Another significant way in which the blogosphere is being used to change Egyptian society is that it is one of the few public spaces in Egypt where men and women are represented more or less equally. It makes collaboration on social issues possible between men and women. Subjects that are taboo on the street can be discussed online. They discuss issues such as sexual harassment, which is often pigeonholed in Egypt as a women's problem. Fuck. Egyptian women are also putting themselves on the map of audio blogging, which is a cheap and censorship-free growing web trend. Banat Wabas, or Girls Only, is the first online Arabic radio station entirely run by women and which addresses their issues. It is one of the glowing list of online stations that have sprung up in Egypt, including Horitna, Our Freedom, and Teet, Arabic reference to the censor's beep. Banat Wabas was started by a 25-year-old computer science graduate, Amani Tunsi, who is frustrated of how women are treated in Egyptian society. "We're almost not living. If you're always at risk of being sexually harassed everywhere, what kind of life is this?" she asked. Banat Wabas currently offers listeners a great variety of shows, including Mosh Kol Alter, which is an Egyptian proverb, "Not all the birds," to say not all the girls are easy to fool. The show revolves around the tricks used by Egyptian men to pick up women. Banat Wabas is not afraid to let contributors express opinions about what's in the news, and they can get away with it because using the internet means they can steer clear of government censorship. Well, big up to them. That's fucking brilliant that, you know, somebody doing the same things along lines is actually making a major difference. I mean, I know we don't really make a major difference, or I've no idea whether we make a major difference because nobody's ever written in and said so. So I'm assuming we're not, and we're just recording for our own amusement and for plugging people into various bits of media and giving some people a sense of community out there, which is kind of the idea behind the whole thing. WikiLeaks, moving on actually, WikiLeaks exposes Australian web blacklist. WikiLeaks on Thursday exposed a secret blacklist of web pages the Australian government reportedly is considering permanently filtering from the internet. The list of some 2,395 web pages, the authenticity of which the Australian authorities dispute, includes all the users' subsections pertaining to child pornography, extreme violence, and even bestiality. But not all the sites are offensive. It includes links to rank-and-file pornography, YouTube videos... rank-and-file pornography, the pornography that's okay. YouTube videos, poker sites, WikiLeaks entries, and even URLs to a Queensland dentist and dog boarding kennel. I think he said dog porning kennel. History shows us that the secret internet systems, whatever their original intent, are invariably corrupted into anti-democratic behaviour, WikiLeaks said in a statement. This week saw Australia joining China and the United Arab Emirates as the only countries censoring WikiLeaks. The disclosure highlights growing threats to an open internet from public and private entities. Beyond the obvious online censorship, China, Russia, Thailand and elsewhere, the Recording Industry Association of America is seeking to ban copyright scoff laws from the internet altogether. In the United States and abroad, governments and Hollywood are moving to shutter BitTorrent tracking services like the Pirate Bay, whose four founders are awaiting the verdict in their criminal copyright infringement trial. The federal government in Australia wants to force all ISPs to use the list to censor internet for everyone. It's allegedly the same list that vendors' filtering software get from the Australian Communications and Media Authority. Childwise, an international child protection charity based in Australia, said the list publication is bad for children and the person who exposed it should be jailed. Every 15-year-old boy in the country is going to be after this porn list, said Bernadette McMenamin, the group's executive director. The person who's done this should be prosecuted and jailed for effectively disseminating and promoting child pornography. The leak and publication of prohibited URLs is grossly irresponsible, Communications Minister Stephen Conroy told The Australian. It undermines efforts to improve the cyber safety and create a safe online environment for children. Conroy attempted the case doubt on authenticity of the leaked list by highlighting discrepancies in the blacklist size. While the leaked list contains 2,395 banned web pages, he said the government's blacklist contains about 1,061 links. Well, this is the problem with banning things. This is the major problem with banning things. If you ban it, people will want to see it. You bring more attention to it than you would otherwise have brought. So, you know, somebody will get hold of this list from WikiLeaks, which I couldn't get onto, strangely, when I was trying to do some research on this. And what will happen is, essentially, people will just get hold of the list and go to those things. It's a bit like the anarchist cookbook in the fact that it was banned, so people wanted to get hold of it and held on to copies of it, so more people went and looked for it and found it than they would have done before it was banned. So movies like A Clockwork Orange that people then emulated because it had been banned. If you ban stuff, people want to find out why, people want to read it. Lady Chatterley's Lover is an extremely, extremely dull book, but there's sex in it and it was banned, so everybody tried to get hold of a copy as the bookshops thing, and an otherwise very, very dull book, because I'm afraid D.H. Lawrence doesn't write, apart from The Rainbow, which is quite interesting, D.H. Lawrence wasn't that great a writer, I'm sorry. Not that impressed. You know, certainly not impressed with Lady Chatterley's Lover when I finally got hold of it, and I only went and got hold of it because it was banned. If you ban stuff, people want to see it. And if you ban the internet, you're fucked, because the internet is full of entertaining people who build things like proxy servers and stuff like that. You can get out of those firewalls and stuff. You can get outside things like that. It just really annoys me when people try and contain the internet too fucking late. The internet is made up of too many systems using too many protocols and bits and pieces that governments cannot get into. And that's why there's all this furor over things like the Pirate Bay. Blah. You ban it, we'll come and get it. It's a natural thing. I love smoking at work. Right, and this is the I only put together a few stories in the Lone Rangers things. Fucktards and Provably So was my rather imaginative title for this one. The British National Party have pulled off a bit of a blinder by fronting an anti-immigration campaign with a poster featuring a Spitfire belonging to 303 Squadron of the RAF, the most effective Polish squadron during the Second World War, as the Telegraph puts it. A spokesperson at the Royal Air Force Museum said the Spitfire in the poster can be identified as belonging to 303 Squadron of the Polish Air Force by code letters RF painted on front of the RAF roundel. 303 Squadron operated Spitfires from Northolt, Kitten and Lindsay, Cottishall and other RAF stations in the UK between 1941 and 1945 after flying Hurricanes in the Battle of Britain. Ta-da! John Hemming, MP for Yardley Birmingham, weighed into the BNP, mocking the BNT often get confused and this happens because they haven't done their research. This is another example of them getting it wrong. They have a policy to send Polish people back to Poland, yet they're fronting their latest campaign using this plane. It's absurd to make complaints about the Englishness and Britishness fronted by this image. It's obvious they just picked an image at random and really clutching at straws if they say this was deliberate. The BNP, however, did insist it was aware of the plane's provenance, and spokesman Simon Darby defended it as a symbol of the Battle of Britain and represented the economic struggle the country is facing at the moment. He said it's not like the BNP are against the Polish people as a nation, but against Polish people coming over here and undercutting British workers. I mean, how would Polish people feel if their government started letting in millions of Vietnamese, letting them work for 3 bowls of rice a day? That's exactly what it's like here over here at the moment. Our government has let far too many people in. The last major example of the Polish coming over here and taking our jobs, as the Telegraph notes, during the aforementioned Battle of Britain, when their pilots accounted for 203 Luftwaffe aircraft, roughly 12% of the total German losses. 303 Squadron's pilots were the only Polish military representatives invited to the 1946 London Victory Parade. Sadly, they were forced to decline because no other Polish units were invited, which was a bit of a massive oversight, the Telegraph concludes. That's just brilliant. Oh. It's almost like, with the BNP, who, if you are listening overseas or you don't quite get who the BNP are, fair enough. They're kind of sort of like underground, and we do have a lot of foreign listeners, so that's really cool. The thing is the BNP, the British National Party, are the equivalent. They're about as close as we have to fascists in any sort of organised context. But, you know, given that people who are racist generally are a bit more stupid. And that's been proven. We covered a story a while back that people who vote for the British National Party are generally a good few points less intelligent than the national average, which was lovely. But, you know, that's the problem. If you're someone that's into this, and I wouldn't even use the word fascism, I would say racism. If you're a part of a racist party, then you've got to be pretty fucking stupid anyway if you live in this country. I can understand almost if you lived in a secular society, say Japan in the 1600s, then being racist, you must, for the survival of your culture, believe that everything else is inferior. Because if you believed everything else was better on the other island, yet you were still trying to contain everybody, you'd be at a bit of an impasse, wouldn't you? It's better over there, but we want to stay here. Doesn't really make any sense. So if you want to be racist, you've got to insist that everybody else is inferior to you. And it just boggles the mind that they couldn't even do any research. I hope that the person, you know, is currently still being shouted at by the members of the British National Party. Ah, just brilliant. And of all things, a Polish plane, you know, because they've had a real thing about the Polish for the last couple of years, aside from the actual fact that there aren't many people coming here from Eastern Europe. In fact, there are people leaving here that have come from Eastern Europe to go back to Eastern Europe because our economy is so fucked. So, you know, I mean, being transitory and working in another country isn't a bad thing. You know, it isn't a bad thing to have other people come to your country and bring some of their culture with you. I was really hoping for Polish takeout. I'm still hoping for like Polish restaurants to start springing up, because that's one of the things, you know, one of the most obvious ways in which we as a culture benefit, you know, as well as literature and people being interested and stuff like that. You know, I mean, I'm lucky enough to work with someone from the Czech Republic, and he's introduced me to all sorts of interesting things from Czechoslovakia. So, you know, it's cultural exchange. It's how we grow as a nation. It's how we explore things. I mean, otherwise, if you didn't exchange anything culturally, we wouldn't have the internet. We wouldn't have the technology that we have, because every country would be keeping it for themselves. Duh. You know, how about we redistribute the wealth a bit more? But you often find that with these racist political groups, there's always someone making some money off it somewhere. There's always people making money or getting better status in society for being the leader of a bunch of stupid people. Anyway, I've had my rant. I'm moving on. So that kind of wraps up our news. It's only a short sort of news burst of a few stories I found that I thought, yeah, we'll put those in there. On to Rangers updates. We've only got a few days left until the Ranger meet. In fact, it's tomorrow. I'm recording this the day before, just looking at my big pile of junk I've got to take down there. So I'm hoping to see everybody. We're starting to increase the ratio of women to men going to the Rangers meet, so that's a good thing. So personally, I think that has a rather civilising effect on us, as we probably, you know, the ones I've been to where no women have turned up, it's been like bears with tents. You know, it's a pretty uncivilized, you know, eating poor food, not being encouraged to do anything sort of like tremendously, I don't know, proactive, you know. And it's nice to have sort of like, you know, especially people like Pippa and stuff to tell us that we're being idiots or talking bollocks. And it acts as a nice stabilizer. And also it gives us a more rounded conversation when we talk about stuff. So, but that's the problem. If all men go away and talk about stuff, it's fairly one. It doesn't have the balance of the conversation, and you don't have the same amount of fun and the same amount of sarcasm and nicky taking that you do when you've got sort of like ranger type women coming along, which is nice. We've got lots of new people coming along who've never been to one. So if you are listening to this, you'll find out how utterly weird and crazy it is, and how bizarre people act when they're, you know, just left in tents. And we'll have a good time. Lots more communal cooking, I hope, and we'll be doing all sorts of various interesting and exciting things. So I'm going to go into, it's not quite half-time, but half-time music, because after the break, I'm going to be just giving a rundown on everything we're up to and everything that members of the team are up to and how everybody's contributing and stuff like that, so you can know what to expect over the next 6 months or so. So our half-time music is... We've got Brave Situation by Cease and Desist and Paper Street Soap Company with Henry. So I'm just going to get that wrapped up because I didn't do it because I got into blaring along. Now we're going to it now.
Thank you.
Well, that wasn't Paper Streak Soap Company, was it? That was Doll's House with Number One. So I apologise to Paper Streak Soap Company. We'll include you in on a later edition. So apologies for that. So what we've got is now Quo Vadis. I've got fairly exclusive... let's try again. I've got fairly comprehensive notes here. And it starts with, well, haven't we had a good couple of years? Because we've been now running for 2 years now. We set out to do so much initially, and now we've achieved all our initial goals. In achieving them, we've achieved some new ones. We've met and conversed with loads of really great people and got a really nicely hardcore set of contributors and a great audience. So yay you guys. Our initial goals were to produce regular audio media, which we've done. Rangers Radio remains our flagship show. We wanted to get a show distributed by Rant, which is done by episode 20 of Rangers Radio. We were then being broadcast on Rant. And if you do want to go onto their Shoutcast server, where I think we're still on, what is it? It's 10 p.m. on Pacific Standard Time and on Friday nights. And we're on at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. On Tuesdays, so that translates as about 11 p.m. on Tuesdays GMT and 6 a.m. on Saturdays GMT, which is not, you know, our preferred slot, but I didn't want to give Samarin any hassle trying to fit in a pro UK slot, so we did that. We also wanted to produce some video, which we've done, albeit badly, and Graffin's currently working on a new series or a new incarnation of Rangers TV. And we're hoping to get out all the footage we had already together as combat shorts. And we wanted to meet up with interesting people. Yeah, too many to mention. We got to meet and talk with some really amazing people. We've had some brilliant Skype conversations, and we've had really entertaining meetups with people via the Rangers meets with people that we didn't even know were listening that turned up, including Jonathan. And we got sort of like feedback from all sorts of great people in the UK, in Europe. Schneelock has been sending us news from day one almost. We've been getting help and support from Avagdu and Brognall and just loads and loads of people. Kevin in Scotland. Cy Rangers sent us in a load of news. Raindog 951, Peacock's now sending us loads and loads of stories every week, which is brilliant, which means that the workload is slightly distributed enough to make us feel, you know, the sort of like the people who are at the media end, sort of producing end, like myself and Graff and all the local people. It's making us feel like we're not alone, which is a good thing. And hopefully we'll be meeting up with Avagdu in person sometime in August, I think. And we meet up quite regularly with Kevin, so Kevin's on tap. We meet and hang out with everybody in the IRC room, which was set up by Kevin, which is also ace. And loads of media has come out of that, which is brilliant. We wanted to organise weekend camps and learn new skills from others, and I think we're on the fourth Rangers meet, and they're getting better all the time. So we're a bit more organised, we're setting stuff up in advance, we're planning activities and things like that, which we didn't do for the first few. We just met up and hung out. And that was good. We got to meet Harlequin, who's now in Australia. And I'm just going to go through where we stand. Rangers Radio is still going strong. We're trying to improve the co-host experience, because we're aware that if you co-host with us, you get a lot of echo. We're getting rid of that. And we're also investing in working out how the mixer really works, so we can produce a better show. And we're shortly going to announce recording dates on a monthly basis. And I hope we can also sort out a webcam for when we record as well, because that would be nice, because you could tune into the show and go to the webcam, and you could see what we look like and how the studio is and stuff like that. So I'm hoping to get like a good shot of us doing that, and we'll put the webcam online when we're recording. Rangers video projects are undergoing a radical shift, as I said, about how we need to actually get proper planning for each individual episode. And I think we're learning all the time, and the hassles of media production are far, far more than audio. Audio is easy, you just sit down in front of the microphone and start blaring and make sure you've got enough source material. But video, you've got to plan out. It's dependent on the weather, it's dependent on where you can site for your locations for shooting, all sorts of stuff. We're going to get a load of combat shorts out fairly soon, so that will bring us up to date with all the footage, and we're going to get a new and improved Rangers TV out of that, hopefully. I'm going to be giving Graffin a lot of hassle about that over the next 4 days at the Ranger meet. The campaign log's out, our first stab at publishing, that's been launched. It's flawed, but we're going to try and improve what we got. It's kind of like a Rangers sort of like motto almost now. You know, it's better to do it badly and get it out there and learn from the experience than it is to put it out perfect 2 years down the line. Because if we'd been working on the video production and never put anything out, the first episode of Rangers TV that illustrated what it was we wanted to achieve, that wouldn't have worked very well. You know, it probably would never have been produced. Because Graf's a bit of a perfectionist, and there's new techniques and bits and pieces that he's learning all the time. You know, he's already pretty skilled at producing video, and he's into this whole special effects thing. So it kind of, like, if we'd waited until he was happy with it, we'd never get it out there. Which is a good thing, because generally speaking, once it's in the can, I want it out there. So that's a good combination, although it does lead to a few arguments here and there. And we're now resurrecting the fledgling project of Standover Media, which was started off by Harlequin, but unfortunately he had to relocate. And it was going great guns right up until we lost the core person. So what we're going to be doing is producing the audio-only version of Standover Media, and we're going to be trying to do that as a collective, so that it will be someone's responsibility to put together a chunk of media once we're up to date. But those people that have the linkages to the individual sets of media, they'll be updating Standover Media. So we'll eventually create an archive for that, so that people can just go in and grab what they want. But the first, we're going to get people up to date with what we've produced. Hopefully that will go through all the way through to video, so we'll have video Standover Media, because I really do think that people pay much, much more attention to video and are much, much more interested in seeing stuff rather than listening to it. And I appreciate all the people that do listen to our audio stuff, and that's not going to stop, but the video production is going to be where it's at for getting ideas and how to do things across to people. And see, the thing is, with the audio, we can't really describe how to do something. We can't really give people ideas. We can't really push a lot of the things that we'd like to push with radio. I mean, we can get the news out there. That's no problem. I think we'll still always do the news in audio, because it's easier to listen to when you're on your way to work and you can feel plugged into the system. But when you sit down, you want to be entertained. You want to be shown how to do new stuff. And we've got, like, a whole bunch of ideas. And I think we've changed ideologically over the thing. I think we started out just very angry at the way the world worked and tried to cover IT stuff and politics, exactly as Rand does. But I think that we've changed somehow. We seem to be more into what can be done, you know, what people need to be aware of, and what we can do as people is where I want to go with it. I want to go into a solution-based... Ooh, that sounds horrible and corporate, doesn't it? I want to start solving things. I want to start showing people how you can maintain a bit more control over your life, what you can do about it. I think that goes beyond some of the rant stuff. I mean, you know, patrolling is, this is what you can do. That's great, you know, but you know, and it's easier to do in video. But I want to move more towards, these are the solutions. This is how you can claw back a bit of your life. Because, you know, the major corporations and the major governments are really, really trying to control every aspect of our lives. And that's the thing that sort of, like, really grinds me down to the ground. And I put those changes to how people that have stepped in to help. I mean, the thing is, those people that have stepped in have provided the way we talk about stuff, the way we look at things. Everybody that's come has left a bit of themselves in the general consensus of opinion. And if you don't believe that, I think you should maybe listen to the shows with Whiff-Waff on them, where he's, like, really well researched and he's, like, put across his stuff extremely well. The shows with Avagdu, who's given us more of a political awareness of how anarchy, for instance, works, or how individualism works. You know, that's increased what we know. We've got people out there that have said, oh, come off it, you're going on about some subjects. I mean, we really did search out everything to do with Scientology for a long, long time. And then we realised that it's not just Scientology, it's not just governments. It's the entire way in which, you know, humanity is changing. You know, there are quite a lot of people out there that are willingly giving up their rights and willingly giving up their freedoms to feel secure. And, you know, that's something that we fight against, where, you know, having things done for you all the fucking time. That's another thing that we try and step in and stop. You know, and people have helped us see things in different ways, and some of that stuff. And sometimes it's a procedure or a way of doing things that's hung in there and stayed with us. So everybody that comes along, you know, even Peacock, you know, who's only just come along, has already sort of started to subtly change how we view things and given us a different viewpoint. You know, various other people, you know, everybody who contributes leaves a tiny, like, change to the way we do things. And that's always how I wanted it. That's what I was, you know, I was dreaming of at the very first recording of what we did. You know, it's just like everything's changed. And I think all the changes that have been made, all the things that have, people have left behind, all the things that people continue to put in, only make what we do better. They only improve the situation. They only make things more and more applicable to modern life, because we're getting all sorts of different viewpoints and we're distilling that into something we hope other people will like, which is the idea. You know, we're nothing without an audience. When we're, you know, even if that audience is only the people that contribute, you know, that it's kind of like a voice for those people and something that they can point to and say, hey, I had a hand in that. You know, I mean, the people who have affected the show are, it's just phenomenal. In the new Rangers campaign log that we've published, that we'll be launching immediately we get back from the Rangers meet, because I want the people who came to the Rangers meet to get at it first and tell me what they think. The, you know, though, those people have really, really given us an idea of how they want this thing to progress, and while we continue to listen to them, they continue to contribute, and then it just makes it better. You know, we're a team. Everybody that listens is a team. That you download it, you're part of the team. You know, whether you've ever sent us an email or not, and please keep those coming. And if you are just out there, send us an email. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, okay, I'm not really in favour of what's happening, you know, then the idea is that you change it. You change it by contributing to it. It's, dare I say, extremely democratic. Anything you send in, we will really, really try and include. The only times people have sent things in and they've not been included, and the person I've got to apologise to are like Rain Dog and Ghost Dog and Kevin, because we've hung on to their stuff. And Brognault, who gave us some audio acting, they gave us things and they haven't been used yet. They will be used. It's just real life. The pressures are getting the show out and stuff like that. It is quite a full-time job. I probably work about 12 hours a week on this. So, and I have quite an intense job where I work around 45, 50 hours a week generally. So I'm trying to put it in, and as my house is where the studio is set up, it kind of does fall to me to produce it. But, you know, if you want to produce something or you want to put something together, even if it's for inclusion into the show, it's a standalone episode. We'll promote the life out of it until people listen to it and have people go and tell you what they think. And unfortunately, that is kind of the whole... our listenership will tell you what they think. They won't just listen to it and go, great. They'll explain whether they think it's great, what they would have recommended, you know, how their opinion differs. But that's just a good thing. That shows that somebody's listened to it, digested it, and then come back to you with a sensible answer. Right, so I'm going to move on. I could blar on about how brilliant everybody that listens to it is for hours. I could be very tedious about it. But I want to go on to what the team is currently doing. We've got so many people helping out, and sometimes we're not aware of what they're up to until we get notified of a finished project. So if you're working on something and you're not mentioned here, we are sorry, and we'll correct the oversight in a later edition. And so, ahead with no particular order, Avugdu is very much working on his own project, but along with Kevin, he's working to get Standover Media up and running again, ideally with a work model to let us spread the load a bit, so no one person is doing all the work. That's already done. Since I wrote that, that's been fixed. Avugdu produced a video of how to add stuff to Standover Media. How fucking cool is that? That's probably for my benefit, because I'm pretty much a technical Labrador, so I needed to be shown, like a small child. You know, I got shown in crayon format how to add stuff in Standover Media. So I'll be doing that. I'll be bringing the entire Rangers archive to a new level of accessibility with that. Kevin's working on Standover Media and looking for ways to make what we do better. He's always adding little bits, helping us out. Kevin's one of those people that would rather, I think, stay in the background, but we're trying to get him out and on something at some point. He's occasionally on the show, but most of the time he listens and tells us what we're doing wrong, which is a good thing. And helps us set things up. So, and Avugdu's also working, good to go back to Avugdu, he's also working on Storm the Wire, which is currently about to hit its second season with new graphics and stuff like that. And working along with Graffin, who's taking time out from Ranger stuff to produce a new Storm the Wire intro. Graffin's also working on better video production and getting all the footage off the cutting room floor. So hopefully we'll have the word in the field is that Graffin's going to be shooting stuff for episode 2 of Ranger TV at the Rant Meet, mostly at the Rant Meet, and hopefully within about a month of the Rant Meet we'll have episode 2 of Ranger TV, so you'll be able to compare episode 1 and 2. A peeper is helping me sort out some green and veggie sections, because I think vegetarianism is really seriously going to come into its own. Even if you were going to go completely survivalist, your best way of getting fresh food, especially if you live in the UK or somewhere urban, is vegetables and fruit and stuff like that. So we're going to be working on stuff like that and ways to impact less on the environment and sort of green things that you can get done. I'd say there are lots of reasons for that. I'm not saying everybody has to sort of tidy up, that get their act together or whatever, or as far as being green is concerned, because I really don't think that society as we know it's going to be around long enough for it to make much of a difference. But in being more green and using less, you've probably got a better chance of hooking everything up together and being able to construct some sort of civilized lifestyle for yourself after everything falls down. So I come at it from that point of view. She comes at it that she doesn't believe me that everything's going to fall apart. So it should be an interesting set of discussions. So we're hoping to include like a 15-20 minute audio discussion in with Rangers Radio, and hopefully shoot some stuff. Because Apeepa and I have now got an allotment that's registered to both of us, and we'll be getting into the gardening game, and the allotment, we'll be filming stuff on the allotment, how to grow stuff and things like that, and doing something practical. Peacock is new to the team, we'll hopefully be getting more media for the shows, particularly as regards activism, and he also sends us quite a lot of stories from the people he's involved with, so we get like an insight into what they're doing and how they're making changes. Raindog951 produced a great video on putting together an engineer-style keychain, and we'll be looking forward to putting that out soon. That's going to go in a combat short, but that's going to go towards putting together a complete archive of how to do stuff. And I'd like to produce like a DVD of how to do things that's all set up, but all from different people doing stuff, like a Ranger's top tips and useful shit DVD-style video, a couple of hours of that, just that you can browse through and run through that. Kobach has been helping us out massively with hosting and general assistance when I'm too stupid to figure out how to do stuff. He's given us the rangers.com domain. He's given us hosting and space. And Slow is working towards getting us some bushcraft stuff, but we may well be including that in Rangers TV. Weaver's working on recording The Troubadour Part 2. Part 1's already available for people to listen to over at archive.org. It's a dystopian story about maintaining personal freedoms and creativity. And I'll be putting the shows together, making more Lone Rangers episodes, assembling the campaign log, Rangers Radio episodes, and getting the combat shorts video together. I'm aiming for about one a month, and I'm hoping to get more Rangers meets together. So we're hoping for three or four this year. So, yeah, we've got loads on. Everything's happening. Of course, loads of other people have helped out over the last 2 years, and it wouldn't have been the same without them. We included an honour roll on the campaign log to let people know that they are, who they are, and let other people know who they are. And if you want the running orders or campaign log to be sent to you as a PDF, drop us an email. And if you're listening, just drop us an email. Tell us about yourselves and let us know what you want to cover or any ideas you have for projects that we might start doing. It's all about producing more. It's getting more stuff out there, more people interested, more people activated from sitting in front of the TV. And we just want to do more. We want to speak to more people. We want to hear from more people that are listening to the show. So drop us a line. And you can get in touch with me at v4v@earthling.net. And you can get all these really great media links. You can go to www.rantmedia.ca, www.kevinisageek.org, www.stormthewire.tk. You could go to all sorts of places. Yeah, you go to wognetwork.com and you can check out Wogrant, which is wasn't me. It's been busy in real life, unfortunately, and we haven't had any new episodes for a little while. But there are 30 episodes of Wogrant out there, so you can go and check those out. The links to the Rangers project link are www.rangers.com. Or you can go to www.rangers.blog.tk, or you can go to standovermedia.tk, because that's now sort of like being sorted out. There's loads and loads and loads of stuff. So, you know, this has been V over at Lone Rangers. We've got loads of stuff. The outro is pretty good this week. We've got Meat by Patient Zero from the album, I think the album is Smoking Kills. Porn on Beta with Disconnected from the album Brand New Note, Road to Nowhere. Sean Kennedy from over at Rant, as well as Porn on Beta with a rant about Forced Vegan, and our usual outro. So I hope you've enjoyed the show. It was kind of put together on the fly, but I thought I'd let you guys know what we're up to and what we're planning to do, which we can't really do in the Rangers Radio show. So this is everything else that doesn't end up in Rangers Radio will end up on Lone Rangers, and I'll hopefully be producing more of these, about around an hour long. So take care of yourselves. Don't forget to, you know, you're the people that are making the difference. Look after yourselves, and we'll go into the music. Good night.
Hey! like a beast from a trunk. That is the same forever, like an angel that's hung over once again. Like a scene from a play where the background is falling. Like crying on a line that's disconnected.
Time for another rant.
Get ready to listen to
Sean Kennedy,
the cult leader.
For more info on cult and Sean Kennedy, email
join at thecult.org.
Hit you in the face with a shovel.
Okay, everybody knows that Sim's a vegetarian, right? Everybody's well aware of the fact that Samarian is a vegetarian. Now, that's his choice. He's a vegan, okay? He doesn't eat meat, doesn't do any of that shit. But you know what? Do you know why he's a vegan? You ever wonder why these people are vegans? Do you know why they go that route? I'll tell you why. Because they managed to do a little bit of reasoning and found out how toxic meat has become. Notice how I said how toxic meat has become, not how toxic meat is. Didn't used to be like this, okay? You used to be able to eat a steak and you'd be fine. But now they're putting so much toxins and so much shit into food, it's fucking believable, okay? They're sitting there and they've corrupted food. What did you do to my steak? Why can't I eat a fucking steak anymore without having to ingest toxins and hormones and chemicals and growth pills and shit that you do? Why the fuck have I gotta wash my fruit before I eat it? Why is there pesticide everywhere? Why are you forcing people to become vegans? I don't wanna be a vegan. I rather like the taste of meat. But Jesus Christ, do some reading. Find out what they're putting into meat. Find out the growth hormones they're putting in. I don't know about you, but 14-year-old girls didn't look like they look like now when I was a fucking kid. I tell you that. You got kids walking around out there with tits bigger than fucking Dolly Parton, and they're 12 for fuck's sakes. How does that work? Does it have anything to do with our diet, perhaps? Does it have anything to do with the fact that they're jacking up the populace with different types of hormones and chemicals and drugs, which we are ingesting through meat? Is that possible? Look, I'm right in there with the next guy. Pass me my fucking steak and my barbecue sauce. I'm a rib fiend. But Jesus Christ, if it's a choice between having to poison my body through toxic chemicals that corporations are putting in there and not, now I'm really pissed off because I'm being forced to be a vegan because I don't want to have to eat the toxic food. Don't believe me? Think it's wrong? Investigate it yourself. Check it out. Find out what they're jacking up meat with. Find out what they're jacking up poultry with. Find out and see, like, you know, when they're processing food and stuff, why they just okay animals that are should be condemned anyway. It's not like it was when you were kids, man. It's not like it was when your parents were kids where meat was safe. Meat is no longer safe because it's shot full of fucking toxins. Find out about it. I hate being a vegan, but I guess that might be the road I might have to go. My name is Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man.
What is it exactly that you think you've done, Milo? And what does it all mean?
It means we've given Synapse back to the people it was stolen from. Human knowledge belongs to the world.
Can we get a picture of this?